Now, former Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer Brett Favre is out with a new public service campaign taking on tackle football for young kids. The ad warns about the effects of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a brain disease caused by repeated head trauma that's also known as CTE. Here's a listen to that public service announcement.
I could be fighting depression, struggling to keep my thoughts straight. I could become violent, even towards my own children. When I'm your age, what will matter to me is not my youth football career, but that, like you, I'm a great parent and I can provide for my family.
So please, keep me out of tackle football until I'm 14.
We're talking about what we know about the risk of brain injuries in youth sports, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever struggled over whether to let your kid play contact sports like tackle football? Has your kid gotten a concussion during sports? If so, how did it impact them? Do you think that tackle football should be off the table under age 14? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Julie Stamm is a clinical assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology. She's author of the new book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and the Future. Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we dig into some of the science about youth sports and its impact on the brain, what is your reaction to this public service campaign? We heard Brett Favre there saying, hey, no tackle football until 14.
I think it's a great idea for a number of reasons. The brain is developing so much, especially in that 8 to 12 range through age 14, and delaying tackling gives the brain more time to develop and also reduces the risk of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, as he said in that campaign. So it's not about, not playing football. It's just about not tackling until we get to an older age where the body is better prepared to handle the tackle and the brain has developed more.
And before we get more into the downsides, you make a really strong point in your book talking about your own career in sports and just the value of getting more kids involved in sports of some sort. Can you talk about how beneficial that can be?
Absolutely. Sports are so beneficial for kids. There are so many health benefits, both on the physical health side and developing physical activity habits that last through a lifetime, and also on the mental health side and the social side. Team sports in particular provide great benefits. You have that team camaraderie, you have mentorship from older players, from coaches, and you learn so many life lessons in sports. Things like leadership, dedication, grit, that's so important for working through all sorts of things in life. So there's so many benefits to sports. And it always scares me a bit that this research will discourage parents from letting kids play sports. And it's not about whether to play or not. It's about what type of sport do we play and how do we play sports like football and hockey and soccer, but in a way that can protect that developing brain.
Now let's talk about the risks, especially in these contact sports, of repeated impacts and blows and jars related to the head, especially for that youth. What do we know about the hazards?
Yeah, so for a long time, we used to think that if somebody was hit in the head and they didn't have any symptoms of a concussion, that those hits didn't really matter. And now we know that those hits actually have consequences, especially the more that you experience. So more and more hits to the head repeatedly over a season and a career can change the brain. There's research that has shown in individuals who had no concussion over the season, there were differences in the brain from preseason to postseason in just high school players and in youth players as well. So we're now learning that those hits matter. And we also know that the more hits you sustain, the greater the risk for chronic traumatic encephalopathy later in life. So both changes somewhat immediately or over the course of a season, and also changes happening later in life leading to a disease can happen just from these repetitive impacts, regardless of whether or not a person sustains a concussion.
You mentioned in your book a common response to the idea of banning tackling in youth football. One that you've heard on the sidelines yourself is, hey, these kids are smaller than pro athletes. They're slower. So you put those together, these impacts aren't so bad. They aren't so damaging. What do you say to that?
Yeah, and that seems like a very logical argument, but the data actually shows it's not really true. So on the number of hits, kids can hit their head hundreds of times in just a short youth season. Those youth seasons tend to be about half the length of a high school season. So in about half the time, they're still hitting their heads 200, 300, 400 or even more times in just that youth season. And when it comes to the force, they do look smaller and they don't look like they hit very hard. But a child's head is disproportionately large compared to their body. And then you put a football helmet on that, and it's like a bobblehead effect. So hits actually transmit a very similar force to the brain for youth players as that of the high school players and the college players. So they really are hitting that hard, or at least that's what their brain is experiencing.
Talking to Julie Stamm from UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology, author of the new book, The Brain on Youth Sports, looking at calls, including from Brett Favre, for no tackling in youth football under the age of 14. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Sam is with us in Menominee Falls. Sam, hi.
Hi. I played tackle football from 4th grade to 11th grade, and I was very good at it. But I received several hard hits throughout my career, and it was discovered in my junior year of high school that the cumulative effect of all those hits had a increased effect on me and made me cut my career short. I was experiencing memory difficulties and mood swings, and it was as a result from the brain damage. And it's taken me, I'm still working on some of the effects 15 years later.
Wow.
Although they are more manageable now with medication, but it is a very real issue. And I will also say that just because we are smaller doesn't mean that those hits don't hurt.
And Sam, I want to ask before we let you go, and I'm sorry to hear the story, your story. I'm glad you're recovering, but if you had it to do over again, do you wish you had never played at all, or do you wish you had started later and then played?
I wish I had started later because I was already looking at a couple of scholarship options. And I feel like if I had started later and not taken as many hits when I was younger and didn't know enough, my body wasn't prepared enough to take those hits, I feel like I could have had a longer career.
Sam, thank you so much for sharing your story. Julie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think what Sam said is so true, that if you wait, you're going to experience fewer hits. Your body in general isn't going to experience those impacts that can affect not just your brain, but you know, other injuries to other parts of the body. And now with some of the changes that have happened at the high school level to reduce contact practice time, you know, if coaches really take that seriously and really limit those impacts in practice, the odds of having a longer career are even better, right? That great players aren't going to be cutting their career short because of those repetitive impacts and then the results of that. So I think, you know, that's a great point that starting later can actually potentially prolong your career.
Sam, thanks again for calling. We're talking to Julie Stamm, clinical assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology, author of the new book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and the Future. We're talking about the risks of head injury for kids in some contact sports, how to prevent those. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How did you handle these issues in your family, especially if you had a kid who was excited about playing a contact sport? What was the conversation like? Are you confused by what you're hearing out there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about tackle football for kids and the risk of concussion in that and other sports after Brett Favre joined a public service campaign saying no tackling till age 14. Julie Stamm stays with us from UW-Madison, author of the new book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and the Future. You can join in with your questions, maybe your experiences, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Julie, we've been focusing mostly on football here. That's not the only contact sport you write about. Are there changes you think need to happen in things like the soccers and rugbies of the world?
Absolutely. Soccer has taken some steps at the youth level. So soccer has banned heading before age 11 and limited that until age 13. Hockey is another one that has taken bigger strides to really eliminate those repetitive impacts at young ages. So they have banned checking before age 13 in hockey, both in the USA and Canada. And those sports are doing well. Hockey has more enrollment than they've had in years. So they're doing really well after that. But rugby definitely is another sport that is growing in the U.S. and really could make bigger strides to reduce those impacts. They do have some alternative types of rugby, like a flag or touch version of rugby, but they could really go farther to really say, let's wait until we're, you know, in at least middle school, if not high school, before we start tackling.
You also write that a lot of kids, if they're playing a sport, they're going to do what the pros do, what they see them doing on TV. What would you like to see from professional sports leagues and from the sports media when it comes to messages about how to behave and how to avoid head injury?
Yeah, the leagues really need to emphasize that, you know, these hard hits, the helmet-to-helmet hits, are not acceptable. You know, we still see that happening in the game today, and we still see that as something glorified sometimes in with the media. And it really gets down to those kids, and those kids see that, and they want to, as you said, imitate the pros. So emphasizing that those hits are not acceptable, and, you know, the media has come a long way, right? We don't have those big highlight reels of the biggest hits of the week anymore. But sometimes it still comes out, and sometimes, you know, we still hear announcers say, oh, he's toughing through that hit, or toughing through when, you know, he took a big blow to the head. And so that kind of messaging is really important, that, you know, the brain is important. We need to recognize concussions. We need to report concussions, and we need to try to prevent those repetitive impacts, especially at the young age.
Yeah, a lot of what we're talking about here is the repetitive impact. But how about how we're treating, especially in youth sports, the moment where there is a potential concussion, and making sure that, you know, the player isn't just toughing it out to not let down their team and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's really tough with kids, because kids oftentimes don't know how to articulate what they're feeling, or they may not realize that what they're feeling is a concussion. So it's really important for both parents and coaches to get to know, you know, for coaches to get to know their athletes, and for parents to just keep an eye out for, you know, your child not really acting like themselves. And there are some symptoms that can be commonly overlooked, like difficulty sleeping, or your child being more emotional than usual. That can be a sign of a concussion. So it's really important to recognize that. And if there's any doubt whatsoever, sit them out and have them checked out by a physician who has some experience managing concussions and diagnosing concussions. Better to be safe and miss a practice or one game and get checked out than to have any longer consequences from that.
Let's go back to our callers now. Zach is with us in Appleton. Zach, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, to her point, almost exactly, my brother suffered a few concussions, I think three in high school, and issues followed thereafter that went missed by standard doctors and physicians. I think a lot of times they're looking for, you know, maybe you're anxious or you have depression. A lot of parents don't bring forward the information that a concussion occurred. So just looking to maybe bring some awareness around protocols for when concussions do occur and how we can bring those forward to the forefront to the physicians and doctors that they do see.
Zach, thanks a lot for the call. I have kids who have done youth sports for a lot of years. Julie, I see at least the paperwork awareness of concussion that Zach is talking about. Is it a reality, though? Is it really being taken seriously in youth sports?
I think we have a long way to go. I think that there's more awareness around it today than there was 10 years ago, for sure. But I do think we have a long way to go. Just giving a parent a piece of paper and saying, read this and sign it, that's not effective concussion education. And that's not effective for athletes either. Also for coaches, you know, we need more interactive education and more discussion. Coaches really can go a long way in talking to their athletes during practice and saying, okay, you know, we're going to take a timeout and we're going to talk about what if you had a concussion right now and what would you do right now to help let us know that you have a concussion or that you're feeling not like yourself. So things like that can go a long way. But we really do need more education. And as the caller said too, you know, physicians, primary care physicians, ER docs, they're wonderful and they have so much that they need to know well beyond the scope of concussions. But there's so much to know on this topic too. And I think it can be very helpful to seek out care, you know, especially if it's something that's lingering, to seek care from someone who has experience and has up-to-date training on concussions, because you know, there are some really subtle symptoms that can be missed. So that training is important for everyone involved.
Zach, thanks for that call. In our last half a minute, Julie, somebody of the sports stature of Brett Favre speaking out on this, do you think that makes a difference?
I think it does. I think it can make a big difference. You know, he's somebody who was a really tough player when he played. And to hear somebody who played through everything come out and say, you know, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And, you know, we really should be protecting the brain and, you know, waiting to tackle. I think that can make a big difference, and I hope it does.
Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That was Julie Stamm, clinical assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology. She's the author of the new book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and The Future.